Praise the Lord, Mr. Wallace. I don't need an introduction. Everybody here know who I am. I thank God for y'all being here this morning. I thank God again for the heat. Praise the Lord. We already have the water because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the type of the water, so praise the Lord. Good morning. I ask you to go ahead and get your Bibles together. And we're going to page 834, Romans 7:20. We're going to be a little bit of Bible study, a little bit of Word this morning. If you don't have a Bible, get one. I got two up here. If you run out, page 834. 834, Romans chapter 7, verse 20. When you get it, say amen. I ain't going to have you stand. I should have you stand, but I'm not going to have you stand. We're going to read about six scriptures. One, two, three, four, six scriptures this morning. 834, Romans 7:20. Once we get this young people's club going, you don't know how to read the Bible. You know how to find chapters and verses. You want to look it up, you already know. You start memorizing the scriptures. Hallelujah. My desire is to get something for the young people to... we already got a guy's summit club, but we haven't been meeting. But once we get, I believe we're going to start having a lot more kids. We need to have something for these kids to do. Also, hopefully we're going to have these computers for this training for these kids. But you shouldn't have to look in the contents of your book to know where things are at. But Romans 7:20, page 834, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And then when we get down with that, we're going to go to 844, then we're going to go to 7:20. The Word of God reads chapter 7, verse 20. Are you there?
Amen.
If the first word ain't now, you're in the wrong place. It said, now if I do what I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now on the same page, go to Romans 8 and 9. You got it? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man, woman, boy, or girl has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10, if Christ be in you, it's a condition, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if, another conditional statement, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he hath raised up Christ from... But if the Spirit of him, talking about God, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that hath raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see that? Now go to page 844, please. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. Whether you have him or not. It's not it's a person. It's God's Spirit. Amen. If you're saved and you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you ain't saved. You have the Holy Spirit because you are saved. You don't have the Holy Spirit if you're not saved. Amen? Verse 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, but what? Know ye not? Don't you know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, came from God. And you're not your own. Verse 20. For you were bought with a price. Therefore give God glory. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God. Amen. Now we go to one more chapter, one more verse. Luke 9:23. I know this is Greek to some of y'all because y'all don't read the Bible. It should not be Greek to you. 7:20. I'm sorry. 7:20. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. 7:60. Oh, excuse me. Thank you, Tanya. Straighten me out. Somebody checking, helping me out this morning. Let me turn to 7:60. I thought it was 7:20. Okay. The greatest book you have is in your hands. I don't care how many books they got in school. This is the greatest book ever written because it contains the Word of God. 7:60, I stand corrected. And Jesus, now I'm gonna read 22. It says this. Jesus taught, he straight charged them. Wait a minute.
That's 21.
Oh, I want to read 22, or 22 and 23. And this Jesus is charging the disciples, he says, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, he's talking about himself. And he will be rejected of elders and of chief priests and scribes and be slain. You're going to be murdered, put to death. But he's going to raise on the third day. He said it now to them all. That's counting you too and me too. If any man, when it says man, it don't mean just man. It means woman, boy, girl, any human being, will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor, sir.
It's not about you.
It's not about you.
It's all about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
Tell him again if they didn't hear you.
Neighbor.
It's not about you.
It's not about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
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 Look, I'm going to give a little introduction here. God wanted a family. Amen.
Amen.
So he created Adam and Eve. Now follow along with me now. This is my introduction. In Genesis 1:31, God says, God saw everything he made was, behold, it was very good. And even in the morning were the sixth day. My question to y'all Bible students, or those who know the Bible, if God made everything very, he said it was very good. Everything he made was very good, and that included man. What happened? What happened was the enemy of our soul got into what God had created. He got in through disobedience. I wish she was calling here this morning, but she's not here. She's having a problem with her kid, a rebellious kid. I want to tell her why he's rebellious. Why anybody's rebellious, because they don't have God. That's one reason. But it comes from our daddy, Adam. And what happened when he disobeyed God, he brought sin into the world. He brought what I call it a sinful nature. Y'all heard me say this before. When Adam sinned, devil implanted Adam a sinful nature. I love little Aunt Gier and all the little kids in here. But if they don't get, if somebody don't tell them right from wrong, they're automatically gonna do wrong. Amen. And it's so good to have kids in the church. Because that little sin nature, it will manifest years later. But you can see it at the very beginning. Even little baby be lying. I always say, you know, be in the crib lying. Because it's a sin nature in them that came from Adam, came from the devil. And this sinful nature causes people to sin. It causes you and I to sin. And everybody born to this world is born with this sinful nature. They got a nature that's automatically going to sin. I don't care how much you tell them, how you yell at them, don't do this, Johnny, don't do this, Sally, don't. They're going to rebel because that sin nature don't want nobody to tell them. It's selfish because it comes from the selfish one, the devil. The devil imparted himself, his spirit, into mankind. And we sin. And we sin. And everybody born is a sinner. Because we come from the first Adam. Now, what I want to tell you this morning, newsflash, if you are saved, now emphasize the if. Because there's a whole lot of people going to hell that think they're going to heaven. A whole lot of people. Because they're not truly saved. Nobody here though. Everybody here is saved. I pray. Now the sin nature does what? It sins. And the wages of sin is death, right? So, and the penalty of sin is death. But Christ deals us a favor. He paid the penalty with his blood, with his old life. The moment you get saved, hallelujah, God implants something in you. It's called the Holy Spirit. And it's God's divine nature. It's God, the way God is. See, the devil, he's a self or self person. Only thing he cares about is self. And God is a self, but he cares about everybody. He loves everybody. And so we are vessels where God can use us to reach other people. He wants to use us to love. He wants his love distributed. I mean, he wants his love distributed through us. But you're not God. But God's spirit is in you. What I'm trying to say is, when people see you, they need to see Christ in you. They need to see Jesus. and it's going to hurt church, but they're not seeing Jesus. They're still seeing the effects of the fall. Because people don't understand, don't really realize who is in them. And God has changed our nature. And we don't want to sin no more. If you get true, you really don't want to sin no more. But the enemy of our soul, the devil, will do anything he can to cause you to sin. And we're so ignorant of we're ignorant of what God has done. God has took you out of Adam, the old Adam, and put you in the new Adam, the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. Ain't gonna be no more. And when you got saved, God imparted to your heart his divine nature. And that nature is gonna cause you to love people. And God, he wants to use you to show love to people. But we don't, because that old sinful nature is really the part that's been broken, but we don't even understand what God has done. He implanted his nature into you through the Holy Spirit the moment you get saved. And when I say spirit, I mean to your heart. It means also to your heart also. The problem is most people are ignorant of the fact that the sin nature that the devil implanted in the first Adam is far has been broken. And being ignorant of that fact, they continue to let the sin nature of the devil still reign and rule in their life. Now sometimes, you know, we say sin, you know, we say, well, she's sinning, or they sin, they're sinning. But there's acts of sin, God took care of the act and the problem, the causes of sin. But there's more, it's all kind of sin. Sin is a lot of, covers a lot of ground. What I mean by that is when you disobey God, that's sin. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go back to the word. This is a command from Jesus. If any man, he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny him. This is a command. Deny yourself or renounce yourself, take up his cross daily and follow me. That's a command. And so what he's saying is your old self is so messed up, you got to deny that person. And God has made you a new self. So when you continue to the devil use you, use your old person, you're making the cross of Christ of none effect. And let's say again, it ain't about you. It's all about Jesus. Now we had the privilege, the honor to be a vessel. We're only a vessel, we're a container. We are branches, we are servants. You're saved to serve. Not to save to keep on sinning. Saved to serve. I'm saved now, so I'm going to serve the Lord. On the flip side, you were born a sinner, and you serve the devil. If you serve, I served the devil for 32 years. God called me when I was 32, but I didn't start walking right, really walking right, until 36. It took me 4 years to lay hold of what God had done, and he's still working on me. You're saved to serve. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. Amen. It ain't about you. God wants a family that is just like him, that shows love, that is merciful, that is long-suffering, and all these things God does, everything God does, what he wants that to be in you, and he wants you to, he want to use you to show the love he has to other people. That's our sole purpose. We're a vessel. He don't leave it up to us to love everybody. He don't leave it up you to love somebody. He wouldn't love nobody if he had a choice, because the devil got your mind so messed, you don't want to help nobody. But he puts his nature in it, and he will cause you to love people. He'll cause you to unite to people. All the attributes of God are in you through the Holy Spirit. Now, Romans 7:20. Go back there, y'all. 8:34. I'm going to do a little bit of teaching. If the devil can stop you from serving God, he can stop the plan that God has for your life. Let me say it again. If the devil can stop you from serving God, he can stop the plan of God that God has for you. The devil uses anybody that is available to do his work. His ultimate game plan is to destroy you by any means necessary. He don't care who he uses, mama, brother, daddy, sister, girlfriend, boyfriend. He don't care who he uses. He'll use anybody available. He started in the garden with Adam and Eve, our first parents. But Jesus broke up. Jesus has broken what the devil did, planted it dead in the garden, and he took care of our sin problem in the cross when he's going to Garden of Gethsemane. Isn't it funny that Adam and Eve started in the garden, and Jesus prayed through in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know what he went through through his prayer? So he took care of the Garden of Gethsemane. It's not about you; it's all about Jesus. Romans 7:20. This is for those who were sinners. Paul is talking here before he got the revelation of who he was in. Paul did not understand when he wrote this. He backtracks in his life and goes back when he first got saved. He didn't understand that the power of the sin nature that we got from the devil, he didn't understand it. But now he backtracks in his life. He understands that the sin nature, the power has been broken. But he says this. Now, if I'm doing, he was doing wrong. He said, if I do that, I would not. He said, if I do something I don't want to do. Evidently, we don't know what it was. Nobody knows. Don't matter. But you got thousands of people doing things they don't want to do. It is no more I, right? You with me? That do it. Amen. I don't know how you can see what I'm saying. If you look in the sky, unless you know it by heart. Now, if I do that, what I would not, I'm doing something I don't want to do. It's no more I that do it. He said, I'm doing something that I don't want to do. But he said, it's no more I. It's not me that do it. But what? Sin
in me.
That dwells in me, right?
Right. Amen.
He said, it ain't me. But it's something in me. In this body that dwells in me. Now the word dwell means this. It comes from Ako, the Greek says, for Ako, it's a house. To inhabit as one's abode. What happened at the fall, the sin that came from the devil entered the house of Adam and Eve. And he's in the house, it's dwelling in them. And that's why Paul said there's a sin nature in me that's dwelling, living in me. There's something in me that's going to make me, cause me to sin. I know I'm saying I delight in the law of God, but there's something in me that's making me to sin. It's a nature in me that's making me to sin. And that's what's going on. But he was ignorant at this time. He was ignorant at this time that God had broken the power of that sin nature at the cross. All right? Because when he said, Christ, now he didn't, at this time, he's a new Christian. And he, you know how you feel when you first get saved, you know, you're happy, you know. But the devil, he's bad. So he's going to do all, he'll start talking to you, you ain't saved. You had a genuine experience with the Lord by faith. And he's mad. So he pulled all his weapons out to cause you to sin. I know it's true. He can't stop you from getting saved, but after you get saved, he tried to discourage you, tried to make you lose your faith in Christ, and try to talk to you and say you ain't saved. But don't listen to him. The sin nature sins. But God, the moment you got saved, Paul, the moment you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, God imparted the Holy Spirit into your spirit. He implanted you with his divine nature. That's where everybody is. He put his divine nature, where God is love, the love of God was put into your heart.
Amen.
Into your spirit. The moment you got saved. Alright? Christ on the cross. That's me representing me and you. He took our sin, everybody's sin, sin in the whole world, and God put it on him. And it killed him. Sin kills. Sin separates. So Jesus took all our sins, God took all our sins on him, and he went down to hell. Now wait a minute. Back up. God put his sins in us. Sin separates. When Adam sinned in the garden, he lost Holy Spirit. When our sin was put on Jesus, he was separated from God because sin separates. That's why he called out, my God, why are you forsaken? He had never experienced sin. But he took our sins, sins of the whole world, every person born from Adam and Eve to the end of the age. He took all the sin and God put it on him. And when the flu
full weight of sin came upon him and separated him from God, and also it killed him, because sin, the weight of sin is death. He knew no sin, but he took our sin. Alright, then he puts him in the grave for 3 days. We just read that God raised him from the dead, right? So when he died, because of sin for us, on the third day, guess what happened? God's Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that's in us, raised him up. And we were dead, but we got rose up. The power of that sin nature, which we were before we got saved, was broken, and God implanted his divine nature into us. So now we have a nature that's going to love everybody. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to be long. It's going to be patient. It's going to be kind. It's going to be just like God, because it is God. But the problem is, when you're ignorant and don't understand that, so the devil does you a newborn creature. So what he's trying to do is to try to talk to you, try to convince you that that change didn't take place. You got a will to do right, but you ain't able to do it because he's talking to you. He's trying to keep bringing back the old thing. He keeps trying to get you to keep on relying on self. And self is your enemy. And let's spend the control of God. If the Holy Spirit has control of you, then all right. But if self is the enemy, because self is what got the devil kicked out of heaven. Self said, I don't need God. I can do it all by myself. Don't need no help. Don't need to go to church. Don't need to do that. I can do it all by myself. Who do you think's talking? Who do you think's talking? The devil. Because that's what he said. I'm going to take over heaven. I'm taking over. I will. 5 times. He said, I will. I'm going to be like the Most High. He's going to take over heaven. Guess what that got? Kicked out. But when he got kicked out, guess where he landed at? On the earth. Right where Adam and Eve was made. Created. He seen what God was doing. He said, oh, God, you know, I got kicked out of heaven. I'm going to go after his children. Adam and Eve. So he attacked Adam and Eve. Gets Eve to fall. Then when they fall, they disobey God. They brought sin and the sin nature. Now, if the power of the sin nature of the old Adam has been dead, the power has been broken, then why can I live for God? He's equipped me with the Holy Spirit, his divine nature. Now, if the power of the sin nature was just broken, according to the word, it was broken. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Barbara the prayer. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It shouldn't be ruling you. Amen. Okay, so now you got divine and you get the sin from it. So if the seat, we got it back. I ain't saying the sin nature has been allowed. Now I'm saying the power has been broken. You don't have to sin. And it should be dormant. The sin nature should be dormant. I mean, it should be like it's dead. You know how they say you go on remission sometimes? You go on remission? You know, the people get sick, they go on remission. It should be dormant. It shouldn't be no evidence of sin nature in you. Okay, the devil knows this. You got this God's divine nature. You want to do right. You want to do right. But the devil know how to raise that sin nature. When you die, it died. The sin nature supposed to die with you because it's buried. So how the devil gets you to sin is he starts talking to that sin nature or your old self. And the next thing you know, he's up out that grave. And he's walking. And he's talking. He's looking around and the devil's talking to that person. Just start talking to you. You know, and we shouldn't listen to nothing the devil had to say. He talked to us for all our life until we got saved. But what I'm saying is that the power of that sin nature has been broken because the Spirit of God is in you. Amen? The Spirit of God is in you. Now my question is, it's not about you, it's all about Him. My question now is, do you have the Spirit of God? Like I said, in the mind of God, when you place your faith in Jesus, the sin nature is broken and the power of the Holy Ghost came in you, and on you, in you. I ain't seen you feel it, man. I said, do you believe God's Word? That's what God's Word says. Now, do you have the Spirit of God? If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you're going to hell. Because those who are saved have the Spirit of God. You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God is not in you, you are not saved. Let me repeat that. If the Spirit of God is not in you, you are not saved. The way the Holy Spirit comes in is based on your faith. Faith that Christ died for your sin, was buried, rose on the third day. When you believe that, and you confess with your mouth, believe it in your heart. God knows your heart. And when he sees faith in your heart, he says you're saved and the Holy Spirit comes in, takes up his abode and starts living in you. He's living in, it's like I'm going to China, I'm going to China, I'm coming over. Get my room ready, sister. I'm going to come in. Get my room ready. Well, salvation gets the room ready. Your faith in Christ gets your room ready. And then when you confess your heart, then the Holy Spirit comes in. Now he's living in me now. All right? The guy who made everything is in you. All right? Amen. He's dwelled in you. He's inhabited. He lives in you. Hope you're following me. But if that ain't the case, and the Holy Spirit in you, no wonder you're having so much trouble with the devil. Because you ain't, I'll leave that alone. If the Spirit of God is not in you, you are not saved. Now here's the scripture. But if you are, but ye are not in the flesh, we're not going by what we were, but in the Spirit. If so be, if so be, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, living in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, what? He's none of his. If you are in Christ, the body is dead to sin, but the Spirit of life, but the Spirit is life. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. God's Spirit, verse Romans 8:11. The Holy Spirit planted into your heart the moment you believe. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So he's saying that the Holy Spirit is in us. Amen. Y'all agree? The Holy Spirit is in you. Now the Holy Spirit is in you, right? What don't you know? That your body, this body we have, is the temple of God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, which is what? In you. Which you have of God. Who gave it to you? Jesus. How did he give it to you? Because your faith. And you're not your own because you were bought with a price. For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. And in your spirit, which are God's. I like this. He said, therefore glorify God in your body. Well, how do you do that? Everything God does for you, give him glory, give him praise for it. Back to my message. Denying self is a command that Jesus gave us. It's a sin when we don't obey God, Jesus' command. And he said in there, oh, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, come take up his cross and follow me. I'm coming to a close. The command is denying yourself. Self, not under control of the Holy Spirit, is your enemy. Self, your old self, is your enemy when it comes to living for God. Because you got to change self. And God did the cross. Any man being a new creation. God did the cross. He changed it. And that, because self is what? Selfish. Ego. Let me tell you something. In Romans chapter 7, 32 times, Paul mentioned I. In Romans 8, it's all about the Holy Spirit. Romans 6 tells us how to live saved. Tells us to live by the Spirit, right? And when you don't live by the Spirit, you're going to be living by the flesh, which Romans 7 is all about. Paul said, I'm crucified, I'm carnal, I'm sold under sin. Saved, but still under sin. But he got the revelation, and he came out of it, and eight said it's a spirit. Any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Now, he says, Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You got sin. Let me tell you something. Only the devil do what you do. As long as the devil condemn you, whatever you do, don't let the devil condemn you. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation says, you messed up and you're going to try to make it good, baby. You're going to go to hell. You don't mess up now. And he condemns you. Conviction is the Holy Spirit saying, you know you did wrong, get it right. Amen. A big difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation is like, I'm going to send you off to hell. You know, you condemn. Conviction is just simply saying, you did wrong, ask God to forgive you, and get right. And the Bible tells me there's no common. I can't condemn. You can't condemn nobody. God don't even condemn you when you're in him. When you're in him, God knew he was going to mess up sometime. Don't have to, but he knew and he made provision when we mess up. Because the blood covers everything. The blood covers every sin we ever done in the past, going to do in the future. Yes. It covers it. Amen. So don't let the devil lie to you, make you feel condemned. Because he's a master in feelings. But your feelings go up and down. Feelings, don't depend on your feelings. Feelings are, they mess you up. And feelings are a result of what's going on in your mind. I don't feel like going to church. Who you think that thought in your mind? Check out your thoughts. They ain't preaching. Give me making excuses. They ain't got no water at the church. I ain't going to church. Who put that thought in your mind? Anything that's going to keep you from going right, you know it's the devil. Anything that's going to make you do something right, go against what you know you should do, it's the devil. I'll tell you right now, it's the devil. Well, if you had the Spirit of God, you are saved. Well, I asked the question, well, if you got the Spirit of God in you, you're saved. It's very simple. If God has implanted His divine nature to you when you got saved, you got power. You got the Holy Ghost. Well, do you really know Jesus? I am convinced. I am convinced. I'm absolutely convinced. We went to see the hell stop last night. Well, thousands and thousands, well, hundreds and hundreds of people. Well, getting in to see this play they had about the death and life and death and the grave and what's beyond the grave and all this. But never once, did I hear anything about Jesus. Not one time. I was told what's going to happen if I don't choose Jesus. And I was explained to me where I'm going to go. Didn't hear nothing about Jesus. But don't you know, the only thing that's going to stop you from going to hell is Jesus. So much emphasis on what's going to happen to you. But none of that last night we seen will happen to you. If you are a child of God, I'm so convinced. It ain't hard to get saved. I'm convinced you got people in the church that claim to be saved, and don't know Jesus. I am convinced, you got people in the church, and they're saved by what they think, and not what they know in their heart, Do you really know Jesus? I'm changing the subject, Where's the evidence, Where is the evidence, Brother Paul, You claim to be a child of God, Where is the evidence, Where is the proof, Where is the evidence, The evidence, was about 2,000 years ago, on a cross, on Calvary's Hill, there was a man, a Jew, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and he went to the cross, and took my place, I heard my cousin say this morning, and it hit my spirit. She said, forget that name, that name don't exist. I'm here to tell you this morning, your old name, forget it, the old way you was, forget it, in the eyes of God, in the mind of God, you no longer exist, you got a new name, it ain't doo-doo, it's not Kiki, it ain't this, it's Jesus, God's only begotten son, forget the name that the devil gave you, forget the name that you had before you got saved. My question this morning is all about, do you know Jesus, are you going to heaven, the evidence I was getting ready to say is the cross, and my Bible says if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten son, by faith are you saved, by grace through faith are you saved, that's the evidence, that you're saved, now that you're saved, whatever you ought to do, it says, Bible says Romans, Ephesians 2:8. Somebody go there for me, Brenda, get Ephesians 2:8. Well, now what about the works, You can't work your way to heaven, You're saved by grace. Well, it's through faith. Somebody give me Ephesians 2:8-10. Well, forget that name, When you met Jesus, God changed your whole resume. You were a sinner in David. In Adam, But now you are saint in Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know Jesus? Where is the evidence that you know Jesus? Where is the proof? The word is the proof. The cross is the proof that you're in Jesus. Somebody get Ephesians 2:8. Praise the Lord.
For by grace are ye saved through faith.
Alright, go ahead on.
And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Alright. Go on, number 10.
Not of the work. You want me to skip the 10?
No. Go ahead on. Go ahead and read.
Not of the works, lest any man should boast.
See that? Works don't save you.
Amen.
Come to church. Paying your tithes. Whatever. Ain't no work going to get you saved. I don't care how good you good. It's a lot of good people going to hell every day.
Yes.
For one reason. They don't know Jesus. Go ahead.
Not For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
We're created for good works. You know, good works, we're created to do good works. Don't get me wrong. We're created to do good works, but the good works, you can't have no good works unless it come from God. So all the works we do before we get saved, they're not going to save us. God don't accept it. But once you get saved, you're created to do good things. Amen?
Amen.
Now, it ain't about you. This is the problem of the church. I see it all the time. I hear it all the time. I see ministers giving all the glory to themselves. And you can testify about what you know. And you can say, you give God the glory. I don't care whatever you say. You got to understand that I is the ego. And that I has been under the influence of the devil so much that it's become selfish. Nothing wrong with self that get glorifies God. But before we got saved, self glorified the devil. It glorified the devil, so we can boast. I'm this, I'm that. Little story. I had a friend of mine at my job. He was a ladies' man. He thought he was everything in a box of chips. He had a lot of girlfriends, cool daddy. And he was walking into the building. Another Christian friend of mine, he was just pimping, looking, marring himself. Just checking, ain't nobody, just checking, looking. She said, look, I said, look at that. She said, look at that, Brother Wallace. I said, where? I said, he just doing what his daddy do. His daddy thought he was cute too. He just carrying out what his daddy was. The devil, the devil was a beautiful angel. So I said, he just doing what his daddy, he doing what his daddy had been doing. We did what our daddy had did because our daddy, before we got saved, I'm going to say the truth, was the devil. Our daddy was the devil. And so we act like the devil. We're selfish like the devil. But now Christ is coming. All that changed now. Now the self, the new self, is going to bring glory to God. See, God spends so much time with all of us, me and everybody here. He wants to get glory out of your life. He wants you to get somebody saved. Amen. Our family members are going to hell because of us. Jesus. You had the Holy Spirit. You got the God that made everything in you, if he's in you. And God wants to use you to get to them. Your family first, your neighbor, and everybody else that come in contact with you. But the devil's going to try to block you through any means necessary. It was alcohol for me because I ran for 4 years after God had called me. So he had alcohol there for me. So I wasn't serving God. I can't serve alcohol. I serve God too. So I ran. I mean, I just play like he ain't, just ignore God. me. But God gets the glory. But when I really got a hold of it, and I was 36, alcohol left. When I made my mind up, everything gone. Just gone. Everything that was stopping me from serving the Lord, alcohol was a major hindrance. God got rid of it. Just took it. All right? Give him God the glory, because he did. He just took the desire away. I don't know what it is to be on Christ. I don't know. All I know about is alcohol. That's all I know about. I never had no crack. I don't know what it do to you. I don't know. All I know, somebody told me, one hit, you're hooked. And I heard that. I had smoked marijuana. But anyway, what I'm saying, the devil used anything he got in his arsenal to try to stop you from serving God. He used every arsenal. And he'll go back into your past. He'll go back and dig up things and try to get you. He's trying to lure you back in. But you got one in you that's stronger than the devil, amen?
Amen.
Now, do you know who's in you? Do you know who's really in you?
God.
It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit, the power to live right. I submit to you. You put God first in your life. Everything you stand in me right now, I guarantee you, based on God's word, God's going to give it to you.
Amen.
You put God first, I bet you everything. Everything you stand in need of, God going to give it to you. Because God don't want you hindered and worried about stuff down here when you got kingdom business. Tell your neighbor, I got kingdom business. I got kingdom business. Kingdom business is getting people saved. Getting people off of drugs and alcohol. That's kingdom business. And he gives you the power, the equipment. But we're so tied up in mess. I got mess. You got mess. And what do you do with mess? If I'm at the race track and in the horse stall, if I see some mess, I'm going to walk around. But God's seen our mess. Did he walk around it, Paul? Brenda? Charlie, did he walk around your mess? He got in your mess. He got in your mess. Got down where you was at. And brought you out. Got down in your mess. I got to tell you what's on my mind. He didn't walk around and he said, I know you're a mess. Everybody else, the devil is a mess. You messed up because you got messed up by the messed up one. The devil really messed up. The devil thinks he ruined everything. Yet God gave him a child. He's the God of this world. But he really ain't the God of this world. He rules the world, but God got the lease. He's the landlord. And he about ready to pull the devil's lease. But the devil won't take everybody with him. Well, I'm going to close. If you are saved, don't you know who took a residence in you? Whether if you got saved, I will tell you who's in you. Don't you know Christ, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, is in you? Got sickness this morning? Know that Jesus is the healer and resides in you. Going through a test this morning? Know that Jesus is with you and in you. Know that he's a very present help in a time of trouble. Well, who's in you this morning? Well, I pray it's God's only begotten Son. Well, who's in you this morning? Brother Paul, Brother Brenda, well, and Angie, well, y'all been down to the... been down to Newark, and you went to Hell Stop last night. Well, when you went there, did you take Jesus with you? Well, who's in you? Well, he's the way maker. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He will make a way out of no way. I'm a witness, He'll make a way out of no way. Who's in you this morning? Well, your burden bearer, the heaven low care. Who's in you? Well, the lover of your soul. You need some love today, Jesus loved you, Gave his life for you. Well, who's in you? The Savior, your Redeemer, Who is in you? Well, the bridge over troubled water. We're talking about the bridge, Tell your neighbor, say it ain't about you. Build a bridge and get over it. It ain't about you. Build a bridge and get over it. But it is about you when you got Jesus in you. Then it's about Jesus. He's in you. So now it's his business. Well, who's in you? Well, the problem solver. Well, the anchor of your soul. Well, who's in you this morning? I pray it's Jesus. Jesus and not the devil. Well, Jesus kicked the devil out at the cross. Well, he kicked the devil out at the cross. Well, Adam got in this mess, but Jesus, well, he specializes in mess. Ain't no case too hard for him. Ain't no crack, ain't no alcohol, ain't no drug that Jesus can't deliver you from. Well, ain't nothing that the devil put on you that Jesus can't take care of. Well, I hope you have Jesus this morning. I don't know if you have him or not. If you don't have Jesus, you are most people most miserable. I don't know how I made it without Jesus my 36 years before I got saved. Now that I got Jesus, smooth sailing. Yeah, tests and trials are going to come, but the greatest fight you got right now, everybody in here, is the fight of faith. The devil hates your faith. He hates faith in people, in Christians. That's the greatest fight you got, is faith. And fighting against the devil is faith. Will you trust and believe God no matter what happens? The devil's testing your faith. So God allows the devil to bring tests to you. Because he knows when your faith gets strong, the devil can't handle you. We're destroyed for lack of knowledge, but lack of knowledge comes because you don't know God's word. And word of God said faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. So if you don't know the God's word, you're not going to have very much faith. The devil knows it. He knows the word. He knows he's on his way out of here.